Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. I'm joined by the voice of Wichita State women's basketball, Steve Strain, today. We're going to talk about Shocker women's basketball. The Shockers, 5-2. They play Tennessee Tech on Sunday at 2 p.m. at Coke Arena. Later next week, they've got Creighton coming in on December 8th, Grambling on December 11th to wrap up this homestand. It's been a home-heavy schedule for the Shockers at this point, and I think there's a lot of interesting things going on with this team that Steve and I will talk about. I think Keith Adams has been very intentional about not talking about the fact there's a lot of newcomers, a lot of freshmen on this team, and I think it's working from the standpoint they're 5-2, playing very well. Sometimes they look like a young team, sometimes they don't. That's my long-winded way of getting to Steve. Steve, tell us about the progress over this month of November for this Wichita State team.
Well, I think there's been a lot, and I think that, you know, one of the things that Coach Adams even admitted it was going to take a while was trying to, for example, figure out rotation. I mean, who's going to start? Of all these kids, all these new kids, mostly of which who haven't played together before, what five am I going to start? And I think that not only that, but the bench has all come together for her quicker than maybe she thought. So I think that's a good thing. She seems to be pretty set on her five, not much variation. The bench may be a little bit more so depending on matchups and who's practicing well and things like that, who's playing the best at that time, but she seems pretty set on that.
It seems like this is a team that gets deeper every game because you'll have somebody who will show some flashes. Trajada Colbert had a double-double earlier in the season. Danielle Lair has played really well the last three games. Where are you seeing the depth maybe rise to the top?
Well, it's a nice thing that they've got going because I know that I think it was their first four straight games they all had a different leading score. But then coming off the bench, you're right. Danielle Lair has provided a tremendous amount of spark for this team off the bench as of late. Then Trajada Colbert in the Houston Baptist game with the double-double. Jada Hampton's first big game came off the bench, and that's what vaulted her into a starting role. So, yeah, this is a team that can bring different players at you from different places, whether it's Colbert at the post or some guards off the bench, and obviously the spark that Lair's provided. So yeah, that depth is something that first of all, this team hasn't had a lot of in recent years. And it's kind of nice and kind of makes it tough for opponents, I think, to scout because you can't really, you know, look at somebody off the bench and say, that's the player that we know off the bench is going to, has the best chance to hurt us, because this team has different players, it seems, just about every game doing some damage off the bench.
10 newcomers on this team, so I think there was a lot that was not known or not understood about this team a month ago. Taking that into consideration, what's been the most surprising aspect of this month for the Shockers?
Well, I think they've shown me quite a bit of resiliency for such a young team. I mean, we've seen teams that had a lot more experience than this one go on the road in a place like South Dakota, where this team did almost 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. And I think previous teams might have gotten run out of the building that this team was able to avoid having happened. They were down 15 points early in the second quarter. Crowd started to get into that game. And just a few minutes later, it's a four-point game. In fact, that's what it was at the half. I think that last year's team, and probably the team before that, the year before, might have watched that 15-point lead grow instead of shrink, just based on maybe not being mentally tough. At Louisiana Tech was another example, I think. The Shockers opened up the second half with a 13-point lead. It got down to a one-score game in the third quarter. And Louisiana really, Tech really put the pressure on Wichita State, Paul, at both ends of the floor. They did it with pressure, but also a very aggressive mentality offensively. And they watched that lead almost entirely evaporate pretty quickly. And I think previous teams, you know, might have succumbed to that. This one didn't. They hit a key shot. I think Carla hit a big shot to kind of give them a little space and some breathing room. Then they went on another big run, the Shockers did. So for a young team with such little college experience to show that kind of mental toughness, I think has been the biggest surprise.
I think the schedule has been well crafted from the standpoint it kept the Shockers at home, which was good for a young team. Not only are you playing at home, you're getting lots of time to practice. But then they've had some tough tests. Went on the road to South Dakota, Oklahoma State, Missouri State. They'll play Creighton, and then they'll play in a tournament where they'll see some good competition. What do they need to improve on before January 1, before they get into American Athletic Conference play? What's kind of the goal of, you know, this wrapping up non-conference play and getting ready for that?
Well, I think it's three things, three glaring weaknesses that stand out. Free throw shooting, 59%. I mean, that's inexcusable. And this is a program that even when they were struggling, shot the free throw pretty well. Last year, I think they were around 77%. 59% is not going to get it done. And she alluded to that after the game the other night when they were like 4 of 13 or something like that, the Louisiana Tech game. Got to get better there. Offensive rebounds, Paul. Wichita State has 83 on the season. Their opponents have 102. And that has also led to second chance points that, you know, I'm not even talking about the Oklahoma States or the South Dakotas, but even mediocre programs, you can't get beat on the offensive glass that way. So they've got to get better there. And then the turnovers, I think, is starting to get better. They're down just below 20 per game now, and a couple of games ago they were above 20 a game. That has to get better, too. So those three things, free throws, rebounding, particular on the offensive glass, and getting more defensive rebounds as a result of that, and then turnovers as well.
All those things can be attributed in different ways or different levels to youth and newcomers and, you know, are you physically mature? Are you getting tired at the free throw line? All those kind of things. Free throws I always think are interesting. Some coaches, obsess over free throws. Other coaches kind of treat it like a kicker in football where they don't want to, they don't want to get in people's heads. They don't want to mess with it. How's Keith talk to you about how you go about dealing with a team that's struggling at the line?
I think she just makes them shoot. Over and over and over, and she does a little bit of both. She likes to reward you when you do well, but she also, will make you run when you don't make enough of those free throws. I know that last year she actually picked the brain, and this was pertaining to field goal shooting, but the same thing will apply at the line. She was asking Chris Lamb, when your team's hitting percentages in a certain point, what do you do? And he said, I look at the opponent that we're playing, and whatever their hitting percentage is, then in practice, we have to at least match that, if not exceed it. And if we don't, then they run. And so she started applying that to their shooting, both from the field and free throws. And that message seemed to resonate. So, I think that not necessarily looking at the opponents for free throw shooting, but just having a goal of maybe 70%, she wants them in practice to be able to knock down a certain percentage of their free throws and reward them when they get there, but they run when they don't. And hopefully over time that message will resonate. Because let's face it, they're going to play some real battles in conference play. When you get to the South Floridas, and hopefully the UConn game will be a great battle, but Houston's, the Tulsa's, these are going to be games that are going to go down to the wire. You don't want to sit there and have free throws be the difference.
Right, that's the difference between the Shockers, getting to 500 in conference play or a game or two over and winning four conference games. If you're giving up 6, 8, 10 points at the free throw line every game,
Sure. That's
that would be a problem. It's interesting, you and I were talking about this earlier, when I watch them practice, it looks like they have people who are comfortable shooting, who know how to shoot. The form looks pretty good to me, but they're struggling from the field and from the line.
Yeah, they are, and I think that they've got a lot of good fundamental players. Carla Brimo comes to mind. Great fundamentals, perfect form, and she actually is shooting the ball pretty well, 42%. Sabrina is another one that shoots it well, 62%. But then there's, say a Jada Hampton who just can elevate, great form, but only shooting 34%. I think it's just a matter of, especially for these newcomers, just starting to get a feel for the game at this level. They're not used to it. They're not used to the size and the speed of people at this level. And so there's just kind of that adjustment time that's going to take place for those players who, they can shoot the ball. They look good shooting it, but maybe with a little bit more time and confidence, experience playing at this level, Those shots will start to fall, but probably going to, you know, take a little bit of time. We're still seven games in, but I think that's where it is. It's just the inexperience of playing at this level with players of this size and speed.
And some of that will get cleaned up as they get more, as they more allow the offense to create good shots for them, as they turn, you know, two questionable or bad shots a game into two good shots a game, then all of a sudden you can see those percentages start to rise pretty quickly. So yeah, certainly seven games in, this team has some room to improve on offense. Sabrina Lozada Cabbage has been very good all season. She had a good season as a junior. She's kind of changed her role now as the lone healthy senior, averaging 10.9 points. That's up about 3 points from last year. She's shooting 62% from the field. How's her role changed, and how is she handling that adjustment?
Well, it's changed in the aspect that Coach Adams told her going into the season, we want you to score more. Last year, you know, she had the luxury of a Rangy Bissard, who obviously was a 15, 16 point per game scorer, and not as much was asked of Sabrina and some of the supporting cast around Rangy. But this year, Sabrina is the leader of this team, on the floor and off the floor. And she also is perhaps their most versatile player in that she can shoot mid-range, even outside the three-point line, but she can also play with her back to the basket pretty well. So she's their most versatile scorer. So a lot to ask of her, and the adjustment for her is that Coach Adams has said, we want you to be more of a scorer this year. Now, within the start of the season, something that's already changed also, Coach Adams has said within the last couple games, we want you playing closer to the basket. That's one. Two, we want the offense to always run through you because good things happen when the ball's in your hands. Whether you're shooting it, whether you're drawing a double team so that you can pass it to the open player, good things seem to happen when the ball goes to Bree, is what Coach Adams has been saying lately. So, you know, she's adjusted this season to being more of a scorer and looking more to score. And then within the seven games we've already played, she's looking to get the ball more down in the low post. And so look for that to continue to happen, not necessarily for her to shoot, but also to be a distributor once she draws the double.
And playing excellent defense, too. Really, you know, really good blocking shots, can deflect a lot of passes, those kind of things. She just plays hard all the time, and I think that's got to be a good role model for the rest of this team.
Well, it is. I mean, she leads the team in blocks with seven, and she also, Paul, is second on the team in steals. Now, you don't always think of a six-footer who's playing at the low post as somebody that is going to be that proficient at getting steals, but she is only behind Danielle Lair, and only one of two players, Sabrina, is in double figures in steals with 10. So, yeah, she really does it all. I mean, she's second on the team in assists with 12. I know that's talking a little bit of offense, but it just plays into the versatility that she has and also how hard she works at both ends of the floor.
Definitely. She's having a very nice season, and whatever success the Shockers have this year, she's going to be a big part of it for sure. We've talked about the freshmen in the backcourt kind of individually. Let's talk about them as a group. Carla Bermeau, Serafini Baston, and Danielle Lair. Did I butcher all three of those names, or did I get close enough?
I think you went three
Bremo,
for three.
Carla Bremo, that's a tough one. Yeah. Serafini Baston and Danielle Lair. And it's interesting to me, you've got a team that's 5-2, and so much of the ball handling, so much of that burden falls on three freshmen who I think have all played pretty well so far.
Yeah, they have. And they've also, you know, gotten pretty cohesive with one another in a short amount of time. I thought it might take longer than this, especially in light of some of the tough teams that we've played, for them to start to gel and to mesh. But there's a stretch where they've had a few games in a row. I think it ended the other night against Oklahoma State, but prior to that, three games in a row, double digits in assists, so they're sharing the ball well, moving it around. The offense has played pretty well. And I think it starts with Serafini because she is the starting point guard for this team. And, you know, early on at the start of the season, coaches were telling me that she was, you know, kind of indecisive. She was getting into the paint, then not realizing if she should go ahead and finish or she could kick out. Even going airborne, not knowing if she was supposed to shoot or pass. Again, somebody that just needs to let things start to come to them, and I think that's happened for her. She's gotten into the paint early and finished, and what that's done is that's drawn attention to her later on in the game, but then she'll distribute once the help comes. So she's done a really good job of knowing when to pass and when to try and finish. Shown a little bit of touch from the outside as well. But I think, you know, from 15 feet in is probably her best comfort zone. Danya Lair has been, tremendous off the bench. Coach Adams has said, I'm more likely to put her in more behind than more ahead because we need stops and we need a spark. And she's capable of not only getting stops at one end of the floor, but as we've seen many times, turn a steal into points at the other end in a hurry. So I really like what Danielle's brought. Somebody that's really kind of adjusting in a couple different ways, not just to the play at this level, but she's lived all her life in L.A. And so this is a different culture for her, too, in Wichita. And Coach Adams has talked about that adjustment, too, the life adjustment off the floor Danielle is trying to make. And so that seems to be coming along, certainly what we've seen on the floor as well. I think that you've got to be excited by what you've seen happen this quickly into the season at the guard position.
Yeah, sounds like Danya Lair was battling maybe some homesickness early. She didn't play in the exhibition game, so we've really seen, you know, if you follow this team all year, she's been maybe the most significant development over the last three games that she's played so well. Been that, as you said, kind of an injection of energy on offense and defense. Where has she progressed that she's now all of a sudden become a important part of the rotation?
Well, I think it's just, you know, early on, there was probably a learning curve in terms of maturity for her. And that's part of the reason she didn't play in the exhibition game. Coach had a talk with her and basically told her that we need you, but we need you we have certain expectations for you off the floor as well. And she seems to have responded pretty well to that. But this is an adjustment for kids. It's not easy for everybody coming from as far away as we talked about, you know, as she has, and coming from a place like L.A. to Wichita, can be a little culture shock. She seems to have settled in, though, to answer your question, off the floor, and I think that's translating into it on the floor as well. And I left out Carla Brimont, and just great poise for a freshman. She's got a huge basketball IQ. I've seen situations, Paul, where the shot clock was winding down, whether it's a dead ball or not, and she's the one that seems to be vocalizing that to all of her teammates, kind of like a point guard, always aware of things like that. We've had situations in the past where we didn't have players that were always shot clock conscious. She is. Very high basketball IQ, great fundamentals, and a very steady player. Other than the Houston Baptist game, where she didn't play nearly as much and certainly didn't score, she's been that steady one. We've talked about different players that have stepped up at different times, different games, and had a big game. Well, she's had pretty steady games all the way through except for that one. So I like what she's brought in terms of being a steady, reliable player.
She hit the big three-pointer against Missouri State to send it into overtime. And she, maybe more than anybody on this team, looks like she has the potential to develop into just a really big-time shooter. I mean, when she shoots it, as long as she is not well guarded, I generally think it's got a really good chance to go in. She's shooting, 33%, 32% from three. So maybe we're not seeing as much of that right now, but I think before her career is over, she can be a really nice shooter.
Yeah, and 42% overall. And those aren't a lot of driving layups for her. She does like to get into the lane some and float them up there, little teardrop type shots. But, even some of her two-point field goals from 15, 17 feet mid-range, but you're right, she's knocking them down. I like the fact that she can shoot with both hands, too, so she's got that versatility. She's just a nice fundamental player. We've seen a lot of players come through here over the years that are catch-and-shoot type of players, and this team hasn't really had one up till now, but she is one that can catch, she can shoot, get rid of it in a hurry, great stroke. I'm excited to see her play here for the next 3.5 seasons.
Keitha Adams has talked about, for both Carla and Serafini, she thinks the international experience has helped them adjust quickly. They're maybe used to a high level of competition. Have you seen that?
Yeah, for sure. And this team, and that might play into some of the maturity that we've talked about that we've already seen based on how youthful this team is that they've had players that, even though they've not played Division I college, they've played in some high-level competition. I know that Serafini did that in Belgium, and obviously Carla in France as well, and some others. So certainly, playing at the high level that they have in the international game is something that helped them. And that goes back to Ava Laskowska, who has such a great pipeline to Europe, and being able to find those players that not only are very good players, but have played in big games already, albeit not at this level, some pretty good competition.
Yeah, I think those three really give Wichita State a backcourt that you know could really turn into something very potent over their time here. And there are certainly other guards on the team, but those three seem to have really stepped to the fore here recently. Cesc Ambrosio is not playing, a senior that would maybe help out with some of those turnover problems that you've talked about. Update us on her injury situation and how she might be able to help the Shockers if she returns.
Yeah, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she said she was about 2 or 3 weeks out. I mean, she was pretty much feeling like then she would be ready to go at the 1st of December. So she started practicing more and toward the latter end of November. But what's happened is she started to experience more pain that they were thinking was starting to go away. Is still there, and so they've opted to have her take a cortisone shot, and they're hoping that will still get her back out onto the floor fairly soon, maybe next week. But it's just kind of a day-by-day thing with her, you know, with backs. I mean, you know, you kind of dictate that by how you feel, and she just hasn't felt good enough to go yet. They're hoping that shot will do the trick. Time will tell. Don't expect her to play on Sunday. But then they've got a week before they play again. So there'll be a full week. I think it's Creighton the following week. So maybe by then. But it's very much a wait-and-see thing with that.
And it's a back injury.
Yeah.
One player that's intriguing is Jada Hampton, a freshman. She was the top girls basketball player in the state of Michigan last year out of East Lansing. And you'll watch her, and boy, you know, 2-3 times a game, she'll just do something that really looks impressive, that really looks advanced. You know, make a nice shot, a nice move, those kind of things. She's not doing it consistently yet, but she's been doing more and more of that. Where do you see her potential, and maybe, you know, as this season progresses, she will become more consistent in those kind of highlights?
Well, I think two things have happened with her. First of all, you know, with all the accolades coming out of the state of Michigan that she had, you know, I think that she wanted to come here and really try to immediately you know, make an impact on this team. This team is so deep, though, that they don't necessarily need for her to be a 15 or 17 points per game scorer. But it just seemed to me like in the exhibition game and the first game of the season, she really, really did maybe force the issue in trying to be that player. Since then, she's settled in a little bit more and let the game more come to her. But the other thing that I've seen from her is maybe just the size and the speed of some of the players at this level obviously aren't what she was used to in the state of Michigan, and so there's the adjustment there. But she seems to be adapting there as well. So, you know, sometimes it just takes time to adapt to certain things, and also to understand that here not only is the caliber of competition better on the other side, but you've also got other players to where you don't have to take it upon yourself to do everything. And I think she's starting to figure that out as well. So I think she's going to be fine. She's up to 6 points per game now and 34% from the field. But, Paul, it was much worse than that after the first couple or three games. So I think she's coming along. It's just going to take a little bit more, you know, time for her. But she seems to be fine. But, man, when she gets – she loves to seem to get to the elbows. And she's got such a beautiful jump shot. Elevates above everybody else. Good rotation. I like it when she shoots the basketball. I think she does it with really good form, and somebody that's going to be fine just might take a little bit more time than we all would have liked to have seen.
She scored in double figures twice, scored 8 points against Oklahoma State earlier this week. Perhaps will be the kind of person when it clicks, maybe at some point this season or maybe next season, that she could really, you know, elevate her game and really go on a tear.
And she's got 9 assists. That's third on the team. So, you know, maybe that's part of that recognition, again, that it doesn't have to be me. She's sharing, distributing as well, and we'll see what happens with her. But I was excited when this team got her, and excited to see her here in a Shocker uniform, and I think in the long term she'll be fine. But, you know, sometimes these things happen to freshmen, even those with pretty high accolades coming in.
Steve, thanks very much for a little look at Wichita State women's basketball. We'll go over their schedule again. The Shockers are 5-2. They play next Sunday at Coke Arena, 2 p.m. against Tennessee Tech. December 8th, the Creighton Blue Jays, the old Missouri Valley Conference rival, will return to Coke Arena, and then Grambling on December 11th. This has been the Roundhouse Podcast. Thanks for listening.